Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
The Lord has made. This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald. I'm telling you, our God is so gracious, so kind. You know what I love about Him? He has implemented every detail that we need in our life is already in place. And He says, now unto Him who is able to do abundantly more than you can ask or think. What does it say after that? According to the power that worketh in us. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today, that shielded faith, that faith is shield that God tells us to put on. You got to have faith in him. Faith is the key that moves your entities into place abundantly more than you can ask or think. I'm like, you know what, God? That's what I'm going for. Your great creativity, not my limited imagination. Again, this is Pastor Cassandra McDowell and Cast Ministries, caring and sharing spirituality. Our theme for the year is armored up with my six pack in 2016. Dash ready acronym. Receive expectations. Receive what God expects you to have, and anticipate how these things are going to develop you. So READY, receive expectation, anticipate developing you. Honey, that's what it's all about. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. And sometimes, you know, for us, because of our training and so forth and so on, it seems so selfish. You know, I need to think of others, put others before myself. Yes, you do. But the scripture says, save yourself from this untoward generation. When you stand before God, it's going to be all about you. And when you make it all about you in Christ, you are not being selfish. But the first thing you want to do, the first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy spirit. So see, that's just you. You and you with God. So it is a one-on-one thing. God told me some time ago, he says, reciprocity, that means the connection is between me and you and no one else. I'm the source. I provide resources. I don't want you to worry about what other people say, what other people do, how you feel they affect your life. Trust me. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine understanding and with all thy heart, rather, and lean not into thy own understanding. And if you look at the last week, our study was in the 12th chapter or 11th chapter of Romans, and it talked about the Hall of Faith fame and all of these people. And what they did was they put themselves first with God, not with anyone else. It was just them and God. So that doesn't make it selfish when you obey God first above what any one place or entity or thing may you feel be effective in your life. I was speaking with someone today and I said, when I went to Korea, one thing that I learned and I wrote down and I framed is that you cannot have security and freedom. The two don't mix. And the only way that you can be free is in the truth. And the truth is with God. And the truth is in the future, what he has planned for you. The things that you can see are facts, but they're not necessarily truth. And I'll reference in the scripture that we use for this week, and we use John, St. John 16th chapter, and I chose the 7th and the 8th verse, the 13th and the 14th and the 15th verse. And then the 23rd and the 24th. I'll repeat. And this information is on my Facebook page. I put a one-sheeter on there. And I named, I titled it Comfort from Shielded Faith. And we're using, thematically, I told you for the year, we're using Armored Up with my six-pack in 2016. So it's about putting on the whole armor of God. In the month of July and August, our studies were on the shield of faith. So everything has been around putting on, he says, to put on whatever you do, put on that shield of faith. So that's what I've been using. And it's been very interesting, the perspectives in which the Lord has had me to see this shield of faith. And, you know, normally you put a shield on to protect you from things coming towards you, but it also keeps the things that God has for you, like your inner peace, your inner joy. It keeps those things pronounced and shielded in your life. So God, you know, he can multitask. So he protects us twofoldedly because we are his. And he only wants the best for his babies. So, you know, he's protecting us from the outside world. And he's also shielding us with his promises within ourselves. And the more we understand and accept that He is all powerful, all knowing. There's everything is in Him. We don't need. Sometimes we sing a song, an old song. Tried everything and everything has failed. Try Jesus. He says, try me first. Why put yourself through all of that when I am your shield? I'm your buckler. I'm your protector. I'm the one that lives in the future. I'm the one that knows what promises I have in you that I want to come out of you. I know this. Why would you look to anyone or anything else as a resource? Because they can't answer it. Most of the time when we project things in the future, it's not necessarily positive. Well, I don't know. I just like to prepare for the worst. Well, what kind of life is that? That's just an old saying that's been handed down. You know, if you prepare for the worst, then if something good happens, you'll be surprised. Wow. And we train up our children in that same old mess. You know, when you look at the Olympics and watching the Olympics now, they're all prepared to receive the gold. They're not, well, you know, I made it to the Olympics, so I'm good. No, the preparatoriness is to receive the gold. They're going for the top. Everyone's there to compete. They say, you know, if I get a bronze or silver, I'm good. No, they're there for the ultimate. Why would we do less with our God who we don't have? Ooh, Karabashanda. You know, they're in the Olympic Games. Notice what it's called, a game. You play a game. But with God, we don't have to play a game of life. It is a promise. It is a surety. It is a guarantee. As long as we love Him and keep His commandments. He said, if you love me and keep my commandments, whatsoever, check it out. They're desiring and working for gold, and God is He's guaranteeing us the gold. We win on the top every time. It's not a game, and we don't have to We do not have to compete. We do not have to compare. We just soar at the top. We don't have to compete with one another. I wish I had her gift. I wish I could do it. We don't have to wish. This is not a game with God. Oh my goodness. It's a guarantee. Everything that God has for you, yours, and no one else can have it. That is the comfort that we are shielded with because of our faith. Everything that God has promised to us, no one else can have it. It's yours. Now, you can miss it, and most will miss it because they don't believe. He says, you have not. Because you ask not. Most do not believe. It's just like, well, I don't think I could, you know, have that. And if I did, what would I do? And, oh, what would people say? Boo, boo, and boo. Serious? But I was there. So I know that. And it took me years. And it's the funniest thing how the Lord gives you messages. And you don't know that they're for you. It came out of your mouth, so it was for you first. For years I preached, can't go, can't grow. If you can't grow, you can't go. Preached that for years. And then when the Lord, about 15 years, proposed to me, if I tell you where to go, I tell you when and I tell you why, will you go? He asked me. You know what my response was? Oh, what my husband say? What would my mom say? What would this... I had all these what ifs with people who do not provide for me. God does. He's supposed to be my source. He's supposed to be number one in my life. But I had all of these other people way ahead of Him. And I went, as holy as I'm trying to be and obey your commandments and do your words, and I had to realize I had not put Him first. He said, the first commandment is He's first. Hello? That's the first commandment. Second commandment, love other people like you love yourself. Well, unfortunately, if you don't love yourself, you can't love other people. And guess what? You can't love God because you're not happy with who you are, which means you're not happy with what He did with you. Well, basically, it's our fault. It's not His, but, you know, that's not the way we generally look at it. I had all these other people in front of saying yes to God, and I couldn't say yes. And I said, oh my goodness, God, you're not first. I didn't receive his comfort because I was worried about what would be said about me. What would I say to them? How would I answer them? And I said, oh my goodness, I'm not like Abraham, who was wealthy and had everything. God said, pick it up, leave it, because Abraham didn't know who God was. They worshiped idols and moons and things that they could see. And here's this invisible God that speaks to him and said, I've chosen you. You will love and serve me. He said, but you got to leave your people, because what I'm going to do for you, I can't do it with your people here, because they don't worship or serve me. But I've chosen you because I know your heart. And he says, look at the stars. Look at the sand and sea. He says, as vast as these are, you're going to be greater. Abraham said yes, picked up, went and lived in tents and left, not even knowing where he was going. And I went, oh my goodness, I'm not Abraham. This is awful. 5 years or so later, God says to me, this time he only gave me two elements. If I tell you to go and I tell you when and where, will you go? I said, well, God, I'm better, but I'm not there yet. I'm still serving fear. When you serve fear, you cannot be comforted by God because you don't trust him. You know, you're trying to logically explain things and, you know, figure it out. And does this make sense? And is this relevant? And all that other junk that we do as humans. But this is a spirit thing, being comforted by God. It's accepting him on a level of the supernatural, on a level of now faith is the substance, is allowing him to be the substance and the evidence of things not seen and hope. This is what this is, receiving this comfort. And I said, God, I'm better, but I'm not there. Oh my goodness. And I'm like, ugh. But then when I went to Guatemala in 2011, I got it. I got it. And I thank God for his long suffering and his enduring. He knew my heart. I just wasn't there. I wanted to be. I thought I was, but he let me see myself. Ugly picture. Ugly. And when I went to Guatemala, I said, Lord, you don't have to ask me again. I'm on go. If you want me to never leave Guatemala, send for my things or not, I don't even care. I know. And it was so euphoric because we were in Toliman. I had got invited to the Pavarotti School of Art. I took a team with me in business, art, and music, like I do with my cast camp here in the U.S. And we were up so high in the mountains and the volcanoes. I walked out one day and it was this white, misty stuff. I'm like, I know they're not having a serious barbecue. What is this? We were up in the clouds, and it was like I just met God. The beauty of what he had done in the clear air, and, you know, I was told before I left, because I have issues with some of my allergies, which the Lord is healing, and I'm doing better, and letting go of the fear that that's part of my healing, I know. And what are you going to do if you get up there, you can't breathe, and you got this? Honey, it was perfect. I said, so if I die there, I die there. It's my time, whatever. I don't care. I know it's an assignment, and I know I'm to go. And it was incredible. Just in these people, they believe in God, a higher source, but they have all these other things. But that's what they live by, time and issues and things. They say whatever it's going to be, it'll happen when it's supposed to be, and they don't live in stress. And some of them do not even have running water and electricity, but they're the happiest, you know, free, calm, comforted in that whoever's taking care of them is taking care of them, and they're not to worry because it's already taken care of. It is set in time. They believe that. And I got a hold of that. And I went, wow. So then I was on go. And so when I came back to the United States, I knew I was ready. And that's when the Lord gave me this place. I wasn't in a readiness state to receive his comfort. Yeah, you have to want to let everything go and receive God. And when you do that, you receive his comfort, his joy, and his peace. You know, if you want to worry, that's a choice, but you don't have to. In fact, he says, cast all your cares. He encourages you not to. Well, actually, it's commandment. He He said, hey, when you think about it, you know, and it feels right and logically lines up linearly, then you can cast your care. No. The scripture says, cast your care, for he cares for you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. He died. He said he died so he could send back a comforter. We don't have we do not have to compete for God's comfort. It's not playing the game. It's not only one gets the gold, only one gets the silver, only one gets the bronze. We get the gold, baby. And everyone can have it. He's a just God. Everyone can have it. He died. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it's a choice, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone is a whosoever thing. You win, you win, you win. The suffering and the turmoils and the tribulations are the things within our flesh, in allowing that flesh to die and going for the gold and the spirit and winning. I mean, toss up, let me see. But, you know, as humans, we have emotions and we do care. But see, this isn't an emotional thing. That's a human thing. But when you get that new blood, that new DNA by being baptized in Jesus' name, having the old sins washed away, and the old man becomes new, it's like, serious? No. That is not who I am anymore. I do not have the DNA of my parents or any of that. I have the DNA of my Father. He lives supernaturally, and so can I. He said, I would that you prosper. That's my God. That's where I'm living. And being get health, good health. Oh, that's my God. That's where I'm living. As your soul prospers. Oh, so if the first two are lacking, you better check out what's happening with your soul. Are you number one commandment? Loving the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, excuse me, with all of your spirit. Is he, excuse me, is he first? Are we keeping that first commandment? For me, I thought it was. I didn't know how. But you know, I tell you something about the Lord. He knows who loves him and who does not. Because he knows everything. And he knows, like with King Saul, he knew he was never going to change. So he took his spirit from him. You say God's a long-suffering and loving God. He is. But sometimes he says, no, that's enough. He knew that he was not going to obey. He knew he was not first. You know? He knew, and he wasn't going to change. Now, then you go to the New Testament, and you look at Paul. I mean, the Saul there and the Paul, and how that he knew he would change him, Apostle Paul, and he changed his name and everything about him. He knew. Oh, my goodness. He knew that he would love him and keep all of his commandments. He knew it. So the first commandment is to love the Lord. I was trying to find, I wanted to quote that, read it exactly. the Lord thy God, all of your heart. And he knows who does. But you can always repent and change your mind. And that's why this message, our show is called It's a Mind Thing. You set your mind how you want. If you want to go for the gold in Jesus for everything that he has, or do you just want to settle? You know, I ask when I'm preaching sometimes, I said, so what are your goals in God? What do you want from God? And I asked someone specific. I just chose a person. And they said, I just want to be holy. I'm like, okay. Well, let's see how that works out for you. I said, that's a commandment. We don't have a choice in whether or not we're holy or not. but what are you specifically? And so many times we're afraid, fear keeps us from being specific in the Lord. And he's saying, ask me. Because he says, whatsoever you desire, that's a desire. Ask me what it is you want. And he says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe. So we get to ask about our desires. Yes, we do. And I'm not finding that. Well, anyway, let's see if I can find it in here. The first command. There we are. Matthew 28. So I'm going to end with that because I got 90 seconds. But it's important to, in order to receive 12:28, the blessings from the Lord. Here it is. Maybe I didn't find it. Okay, I did not. But those are the two, you know, that scripture where he talks about the when he's with the rich young ruler, he says, keep the first two commandments. First one is love the Lord thy Lord. And the next one is to love thy neighbor. But in order to receive that comfort of God, which is free and for everyone, you don't have to compete for it. Everyone can have it. You just have to step outside your comfort zone and leap. Take that leap of faith. No matter what God tells you to do, believe God and not men. And know that he is, he said, I must go away that I can send a comforter. And the comforter, which is the spirit of truth, will show you things to come. And that's St. John 16, the 13th verse. So it'll lead and guide you. You won't lie into truth. Be comforted and be shielded by God's comfort. And put on the armor of God and know that God loves you. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Okay, my son.